السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله النبي الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وأصحابه وبارك وسلم. فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل إنني هداني ربي إلى صراط مستقيم دينا قيما ملة إبراهيم حنيفا، صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. Most respected ulama ikram, elders and dear brothers in Islam, Alhamdulillah, with the fadl and grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we find ourselves in this auspicious month of Zulhijjah, which is one of the four sacred months in Islam. And we find ourselves in the first 10 days of this auspicious month, which we very well know are days of significance determined from the Quran Kareem and from the Ahadith of Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And indeed, perhaps every masjid in the world today, from Masjid al-Haram in Makkah al-Mukarramah, Madinah al-Munawwara, Masjid al-Aqsa, and throughout the world, the attention and the focus of everyone will be on the important events or the importance of these events of the Hajj that will be coming upon us and the Qurbani that will form part of the importance and the significance of these events. And in reality, when we talk about relevance, a lot of times we find that suggestions are made to the ulama that you must speak on relevant things, speak on current topics. Then in terms of relevance and importance to the lives of each and every one of us, indeed there can be no more relevant event and topic than the events that are taking place and that will take place on the 5 days of Hajj, the Qurbani, etc. So this is a very detailed and a very comprehensive subject matter, and it goes into volumes of masail and laws, fiqhi rulings, and it goes into volumes of history, and it goes into volumes of fadail and virtue. However, the important thing is that given all the information and given all the virtue and the history and the significance and the benefits, the important thing is to actually take that which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wants us to take, the objective, the goal, the purpose of all of this. We can have the ilm and the knowledge, and we can understand it comprehensively, and we can analyze it, and we can comment on it, and we can speak about it, we can dissect it, and we can even memorize it. However, in terms of objectivity, if the outcome and the result, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to achieve from all these exercises, from all these important events and these fazail and significance, if this is not achieved at the end of the day, then unfortunately, the purpose and the objective of all what we undergo, these exercises, is lost, it's diminished. So, what is the objective? What is the purpose behind these great virtues and fazail that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept in these exercises? We refer to two ayat and verses of the Quran Kareem, where given the context of all the other ayat, verses, and the ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, keeping in mind the history of the life of Ibrahim ala nabina wa alayhi salam and Nabi Kareem sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, In these two verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the Mubarak agency of Nabi Kareem sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, gives us, points us, or pinpoints rather, the very objective of all of this. And the verse is, قُلْ إِنَّنِي هَدَانِي رَبِّي إِلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is asked, is being told to make a declaration, a very distinct statement, very important declaration. قُلْ إِنَّنِي هَدَانِي رَبِّي إِلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. Say, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, verily my Rabb, my Creator, my Sustainer, my Nourisher, Hadani, He has guided me. He has guided me, He has put me onto a path of what? Siratul Mustaqim. On the path of guidance, on a straight path, on a path of rectitude, on a path of reformation, on a path that will eventually lead a person to salvation. Siratul Mustaqim. And then there's elaboration thereafter on what Siratul Mustaqim is. Deenan qiyaman millata Ibrahim Hanifa, that it is this deen, it is this creed and way of millat Ibrahim, the way of Ibrahim ala nabina wa alayhi salam. Further on, Nabi Kareem sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is asked further to make another very important declaration, another important statement. And this really is the formula. This is the golden formula. And this, we can say, is the very mugs and the very crux of everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to achieve from Qurbani, from Hajj, from Arafat, from Mina, from Muzdalifah, from the fasting, from the nights, from the days. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Say, verily, my salah, my prayers, wanusuki, technically and specifically this word can be translated as the rites, the qurbani, the hajj, the rites of hajj, the rites of qurbani. But more broadly, this word and this statement actually entails the majmu'ah and the collection of all our ibadat, all the observances. Every act of good deed, every act of good, every virtue that a person goes towards, this word and this statement entails that. Wanusuki. Wamahyaya, and my entire life. My entire life from beginning to end. Every breath, every moment, every step, every word, every act, every movement, every deed. And wamamati, not only my entire life, but even my death and my dying, لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. In other words, whatever I do, and wherever I go, everything comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and returns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we say, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ, we are saying that most definitely we come from Allah, we belong to Allah, and we will return most definitely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing is from our side, nothing is of our effort, there's no significance, no recognition to the self, but everything is attributed to the one being, the master, the supreme ruler, maker, creator, nourisher, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So if this verse, in fact, in Durre Manthur, a sahabi by the name of Hazrat Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that it is my heart's desire. It is the desire of my heart that every Muslim and every believer, he recites this ayat and this verse in abundance. And he makes this verse a wazifa. He makes it a formula of his life. In other words, literally he reads it abundantly. And of course when something, إِذَا تَكَرَّرَ الْكَلَامِ, when something is repeated, and it is mentioned often, it is recited often, then taqarrara fil qalb, it takes root in the heart. So if a person makes this ayat, this verse of the Quran Kareem, a formula of his life, literally recites it abundantly, and looks upon it or ponders over it, reflects over it and imbibes the reality of this verse into his life, then we will find that that person is reaching his goal and he is moving in the direction of Siratul Mustaqim. He is moving in the direction of Millata Ibrahim. Now, when we look at it very, very simply, it is translated. It's an easy translation. We all, perhaps, alhamdulillah, by now, have memorized this dua over the years of making qurbani. قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. And we will find on the day of qurbani, even the little children are reciting it, and they are, and it is being recited in abundance. But what is the purport of this verse? What is the actual objective of this formula, this life golden formula, if you want to call it? Like Abu Musa Ashari radiallahu ta'ala has said, that it should be recited often, and it should be made a formula, a guiding formula for a person in his life. Now if you look at the very first aspect, Inna Salati. Indeed by Salah. Salah is one ibadat, one action among many, many obligations and actions that we are required to fulfill and we are required to discharge. But this verse emphasizes the great importance of Salah in the life of a mu'min and a believer. That it takes precedence above everything, every priority, every engagement, every meeting, every activity, and everything that a mu'min and a believer does, Salah takes priority and precedence over it. That in the life of a mu'min, the importance of Salah is unparalleled. Yet when we look at the reality of the matter, then we find that unfortunately, that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed right on top of the pedestal as the driving force as far as the spirituality of a person is concerned, the neglect, the heedlessness, the unwariness, the disconcern, the lethargy, the apathy with regards to this important sutun, bunyad, asas, it is the basis of a person's deen, of his life, of his actions, of his spirituality. Then, and we reflect over the condition of the ummah, and we look what the ummah is going through, then we will understand that a large part of spirituality, of ruhaniyat, of the life of a mu'min, of a believer is missing. Nabi Kareem sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam explained to Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala the importance of Salah, the virtues of Salah in so many different ways. He used simple examples to show its importance, to draw a person's attention towards its fazilat and virtue, so that no person lives his life without this important ingredient and component in his life. In Fadail Salah, among the many books authored by Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Malana Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, is Fazail Salah. The other kitabs are Fazail Hajj, Fazail Dhikr, the virtues of Dhikrullah, the virtues of Hajj, Fazail Sadaqat, the virtues of charity, Fazail Durud, or Salam, the importance and the Fazail of Durud and Salam in the life of a mu'min, and various other kitabs. These are the more well-read books and popular books of this great author. Brings a riwayat and hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which we cannot go into the details. But it shows how Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu were explained by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the importance of things. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned to them that if a person has a house, and in front of his house he has five streams that are running, and if this person has to take a bath, he has to dip himself into these five streams every day, what will be the condition of that person? The Sahaba replied to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, indeed, this person will be clean. There will be no traces of dirt on his body. He will be a person who is fresh, and there will be no odor on his body. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the Sahaba that this is the likeness of a person who performs his five daily salah with his due attention and in a proper manner. When he performs his salah in the manner that it is required, then he is like that person who is taking a bath in that river. He's cleaning himself spiritually, internally, of the filth and the grime that comes upon the heart, upon the soul, upon the inner of a person. There is a cleansing that is taking place through this important act of salah. We talk about the political situation in Syria and in Egypt and in different parts of the Muslim world. Yet when we look at the salah and the condition of salah in the ummah, then we find, unfortunately, that if there is no salah in the life, if this is regarded as imaduddin, this is regarded as the head of the body, then where is the rest of the body? What is the condition of the rest of the body? So, kul inna salati, this salah is so important in the life of a mu'min and a believer that it cannot be conceived that a mu'min and a believer is negligent of it. Even when the fuqaha, when they write in the books regarding the qaza salah, they don't say when a person misses a salah. They say, idha fataka salah, when a salah misses a person. Because it cannot be conceived that a mu'min and a believer will miss a salah, or he will be negligent about his salah. The next aspect of this ayat, that is the bunyad, that is the asas. In fact, there is so much of detail in this thing. Ibrahim ala nabina alayhi salam, when he leaves his wife in that barren valley, and he turns away and he goes, and he reaches a point where his wife Hajar cannot see him and he cannot see her. He did not want to create an impression that he is going to even turn back. We know the whole history, how he had left her there, etc. But when Ibrahim ala nabina alayhi salam sits down with a heavy heart, he has left his wife, his family, his little child, in an outwardly, apparently hopeless situation. No hope of survival. But the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was in front of him. Ibrahim ala nabina alayhi salam sits down and he lifts his hand in dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What would have been the first dua that comes out of the lips of a man in that situation, facing that emotional difficulty? The first statement would have been, oh Allah, take care of my family. Oh Allah, do not let them perish. But the very first words that Ibrahim ala nabina alayhi salam mentioned at this point, Rabbana liyuqimu salah. Oh Allah, above all, make them establish salah. When survival was the priority, the dua was Rabbana liyuqimu salah. And that alone tells us the importance of salah in the life of a mu'min and a believer. The next aspect that is mentioned in this ayat is wa nusuki, my ibadat, the good acts and the deeds of a mu'min and a believer. Here again, the message is that every mu'min and every believer should be a person who is driven by action. Complacency, laziness, unwillingness should not be the lot of a mu'min and a believer. The life of a believer is the composition of action and a'mal. And we know how important this a'mal is because it is the real capital of the life of the life of a mu'min and believer. Everything else will be left behind. The only thing, the only material possession that a person will take literally into the grave is his kafan. That is why the mufassirin, when they explain, وَابْتَغِ فِي مَا أَتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. Don't forget that portion of this dunya. Don't forget your portion in this world. There are different explanations to this. One explanation Allama Qurtubi rahmatullahi alayhi mentions is that do not forget your kafan. The only thing is the kafan that will go as far as materially being attached to that person. And we know how insignificant that is. But the only thing that leaves a person or remains with a person is his a'mal and his actions. And here again, like in salah, there is complacency and unwillingness on the part of the ummah. There should be no stagnancy. A mu'min should be rowing. Those oars should be moving all the time. That boat has to move. The boat of mujahada, of striving, of moving forward. No matter which part of the ocean a person finds himself, he could find himself right at the shore. He could find himself right in the middle. No matter what condition of life a person finds himself in, young or old, weak or strong, affluence or poverty, in any condition of life, the vision of a mu'min, the drive of a believer is one, and that is kar or dar. That believer has to continue doing and doing and doing and not counting. There's no figures here. The hadith that mentioned the virtues of various things, that a person will get the reward of the hay on the animal. That much reward a person is going to give, it cannot even be comprehended, the figure, the magnitude of it. But it's not about the figures. Rather, it is about the attitude of a person, the drive of a person, the sincerity of the person, what depth that person wants to go to as far as adherence to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, submission and subjugation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this nusuki is so important. It is the, all the actions and the good deeds and the believers of a person, come under the umbrella of nusuki. It reminds me of an incident. A person sees a friend in his dream, and this friend has passed away, and he is standing in front of the mizan, the scales, and his deeds are being weighed. And the good deeds and the evil deeds are equal. And this person is perspiring and is worried and is concerned. Where is he going to find an action that is going to tip that scale? There is anxiety on his face, and his friend sees him in a dream. And now, from somewhere, a little, what can we call it, a bag, or something is thrown into the good scale, the scale with the good deeds, and it tips the scale in his balance. It outweighs the bad deeds, and this person is now rejoicing that he is successful. When his friend asks him that, or rather when this person in the dream asks the malaika and the angels, that what is it that changed my taqdeer and my outcome? They said that was that little sand that you had taken and you had threw into the grave of a Muslim brother's janazah that you had attended, that has come to your rescue now. La tahqiranna min al-a'mali shay'a. Nabi SAW has mentioned in the hadith that don't regard any deed as insignificant or small. Today we find there is a drive that we want to do big things. And yes, a person should aim high. But in aiming high, we should not forget that the little actions, those which we consider trivial, they can be very valuable in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, dependent on the sincerity of that action. Our akabir, our aslaf, our seniors, sometimes they used to do great actions. They used to have great accomplishments next to their names. Yet after that achievement, we will find them sobbing, crying, worried that, oh Allah, accept this action from me. There mustn't be any riya and show. There mustn't be any insincerity in this action of mine. And on the other hand, they would do a small action, something concealed, something very trivial outwardly. And they would have the hope that, oh Allah, accept this action and make it the means of my najat and my salvation. And this should be the attitude and the approach, that they used to do good actions and they used to cry, oh Allah, accept our good actions. Today our condition is such that we are sinning and we are doing vice and we are wasting our time. We are in futility and frivolity. Yet we do not find the opportunity to make istighfar and to make tawbah and repent. So wa nusuki is our a'mal and our actions that is so important. Wa mahyaya, my life. Look at the emphasis in this ayat, starting off from salah, going on to every action of a person, and then coming to the entire life of a person. The capital, the time of a person, every breath, every moment, every word, every intention, all of that forms mahyaya, the life of a believer. And what is this life? There are five central aspects to the life of every believer. And these five aspects need to be rectified, need to be reformed, need to be purified, need to be developed, need to be enriched and enhanced. One is the aqaid and the belief of a person. Number two is his ibadat, his actions, his worship. Number three is his akhlaq, his character and conduct. Number four is his mu'amalat, his transactions and his dealings. And number five is his mu'asharat, his social dealings and his social life. These are the five central departments of the life of a believer. Now, This is the hayat of a person. This is what our life is made up of. One of these five aspects. And we find generally, there is a tendency, alhamdulillah, that aqidah, belief, people are particular about it. That we need to have the right beliefs. And when it comes to ibadah, to a great extent, people are also striving towards improving the ibadah and the acts of worship. Charity, people are doing good actions, hajj, umrah, sadaqah, fasting. But when it comes to akhlaq, character, conduct, mu'asharat, social living, then we find here that there is a huge area for improvement. People will be able to move through the first two aspects with a pass rate. But when it comes to the aspects of akhlaq and conduct, when it comes to social living, then we find here the failure rate is higher than the pass rate. And we all know what we are speaking about, what our conduct is like, what our akhlaq is like. And therefore many ahadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned that if a person wants to outdo everyone, he wants to supersede, he wants to be the best, he wants to be successful, various meanings of different ahadith, then a person must correct his conduct, his akhlaq and his character. And that will surpass those people who are reading tahajjud, and those people who are making abundant zikrullah, and those people who are giving charity, and doing a lot of umrah and hajj, etc. A person can outdo all of them with the correct character, conduct and akhlaq. Of course, there is a lot of detail and explanation in all of these things, but when it comes to the last aspect, wa mamati, and my death, that not only in my life, but even in my death, O Allah, everything is for you. Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in one dua, Allahumma ja'al khayra umri akhirahu, wa khayra amali khawatimahu, wa khayra ayami yawma yalqaq. The last part of this dua is, O Allah, make that day the best day, the day in which I meet you. Make that part the best part of my life, the last part of my life. And make my best action the last action that I do. So in order for a person to reach that point in a manner that Allah is going to be pleased with him, for a person's debt to be for Allah, for a person's debt to be for Allah, a person has to live his life for Allah. Then a person's debt will also be for Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my dear friends, give us the understanding in these important days that this is not a time about, it's not about figures, it's not about numbers. A person can be sitting in South Africa, he can be sitting in any part of the world, but if his heart, his mind, and his thoughts, and his vision is with the Hujjaj, then that person can be a Haji in a spiritual sense while sitting in any part of the world. And a person can be a Haji on the plains of Arafat, but if he is detached from the reality of Hajj, then unfortunately that person is a loser. This does not take away any of the significance of these great a'mal and actions, but really what this ayat is telling us, what the purport of this ayat is, that we need to have the right vision, the right intention, the right drive, and then inshallah we will be able to reap the great benefits that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept in these days. If we really look at it, the common question is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us so much reward. In the month of Ramadan, people search and search for Laylatul Qadr, for 10 nights. Here every night, 10 nights, or 9 nights, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us this reward of Laylatul Qadr. So we understand from this that the figure does not matter. The reward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no, it's unlimited. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants a person's attention. He wants him to, he's giving the biggest prize so that a person's attention is drawn towards ibadah, towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in that way, the maqsad-e hayat, the purpose and objectivity of a person's life can be understood, realized and lived. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give one and all tawfiq wa akhir da'wah.